What does that do to you when you sit and praise the Lord? It brings peace, doesn't it? That feeling of peace that comes over us when we're in His presence, because His presence changes things. His presence changes atmospheres. When we go to Him with raising up incense to the Lord, it's an incense can be a praise, a prayer of gratitude, a prayer of confession, of recognizing before the one true God that we have much sin in our life, but know that the power of Jesus brings cleansing and brings a clean heart, right? Jesus brings a clean heart. And so why would we keep something that we get to experience like this to ourselves? Why would we not want to share that with other people? This world, do you guys know people who are hurting? Pastor Jason is going to preach on that today, of people who are hurting. They're everywhere. They're in this room. There's so many of us hurting and going through things. And here's the deal that we know here is that the hope, the only hope we have is the one true God, the one who is worthy of praises, the one who's worthy of our incense going up to Him. As you read in the Old Testament and He talks about incense, it's a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So your praises and your incense that come from burning off the slough of just daily life, right? That's a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And when we come before Him knowing that He gave us the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus Christ, and that we turn around and we give it back to Him, God is so pleased in that. So I just want you to know that we are thankful for each of you. And I am so thankful that this is your home. This is home. And let's share the hope of home with the world.
Guys can have a seat if you would. I want us, if we can today, we love to pray. By the way, can we just honor our worship team today and tell them thank you for everything that they've given us? And it's absolutely incredible. Look at these guys here. I love it. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. You guys want to preach today? No, you can handle that. So, hey, we love to just pray for other gatherings. Listen, as powerful as it is in this room today, you need to know that this is just one small representation of what God is doing in our greater area and around the world. Amen. And so we are not in a competition with any other church, any other organization, pastor. If there's any one that we're competing against, it's the devil, right? And so we love to pray for moves of God. And I want us to pray today for my friend, Pastor Paul Wilson, and the Cibolo Creek Community Church family that are gathered over on 3351, that Fair Oaks Ranch area. And Pastor Paul has been a faithful proclaimer of the gospel for years. We've been here 20 years, and Pastor Paul's been here longer than that. And moved here from Wisconsin. Anybody from Wisconsin today? All right, a few of you guys. Yeah, Joe, you're from Wisconsin.
He was my pastor in Wisconsin.
He was your pastor in Wisconsin. Stop it. Are you kidding me? Did not know that. This is a God-orchestrated moment right here, is it not? Moved down here. There were a couple of families that had a vision for a new work, a new move of God here in the Hill Country years ago. And Pastor Paul has been faithful. Listen, you guys know that God honors and blesses faithfulness. And that might be a word for someone listening right now, because maybe you might be considering throwing in the towel, giving up, hanging it up, or listen, I want to encourage you, you stay faithful. He's faithful. And He, in His way and in His time, He always honors and blesses faithfulness. Before we started this church, I told Pastor Paul, we were having lunch recently, and I shared with him, hey, listen, before we launched this church, there were about 10 of us that were kind of our core team. We had kids leaders and some other people, and we would go travel around from church to church, the best practices types of places, you know. And it, you know, you always need to find somebody that's better than you at what you do. right? They pull you to the next level. So if you're a coach, find a coach that's better than you and learn from them, pull you up. If you're a business leader, find a business leader that's better, let them pull you to the next level. If you're an athlete, whatever. And Pastor Paul said, hey, we came and we checked you guys out for about 2 weeks because we had heard what a great church it is. And we learned from them. We ripped off all of their stuff, you know, and made it ours and what have you. But they have been a faithful witness for our Lord and Savior for years here in the Hill Country. And so I want us to pray for them today if we can. Because it's just good for us to pray for a move of God. Amen? Yes. So grab a hand next to you if you feel comfortable with that. Pastor Paul Wilson and our family gathered today at Cibolo Creek Community. God, thank you for being a Jesus that's worth singing about and getting loud about and praying to and just lifting our voices, dancing, bouncing. Lord, it's just good. You're worthy of it all, Lord. You're worthy of it all. We've gotten rowdy and loud over basketball games all weekend, and we've celebrated accomplishments from our kids. And Lord, many of us have received some good news maybe from a doctor's visit or at work, and we celebrate and we get so amped about those things, and rightfully so. But God, let us not forget Jesus and what he's done for us. Lord, today I'm asking for you to be elevated, not only here at 1910, but all across this Hill Country, but specifically today, God, we pray for Pastor Paul Wilson and the family gathered at Cibolo Creek Community Church. Lord, I'm asking for you to anoint Pastor Paul. I know you've given him a word, and I pray, God, that he would be able to articulate that clearly in these next few moments. And God, I'm praying for hurting people to find healing today. I'm praying for those that are searching for answers, that those answers or those questions would be answered today, Lord. Lord, I'm praying for boys and girls in kids ministry. Aren't we thankful for kids ministries? Man, kids right now being taught the good news of Jesus, and they're probably making palm branches and shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes. But God, may they understand what Jesus came to do for them. Wow. I pray, God, that your spirit would be present there, and that Pastor Paul would preach the sermon of his life, and that you would receive all the glory and honor as a result of it. But God, it's an honor for us to partner with them. And not just at Cibolo Creek today, God, but other places of worship all around us today. May Jesus be proclaimed. Right, guys? May the name of Jesus be proclaimed. Yes. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us in this moment. And I pray that you would continue what you've already started. Lord, thank you for being with us. And I'm excited because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Freedom. And Lord, today is a day of freedom. It's in your name we pray. All God's people said, hey, thank you guys for praying for other churches with us. That means a lot. You guys know we're all going to be in heaven together one day. And so I think we ought to just start taking a liking to one another right now while we're here on earth, right? It's okay to partner and pray for and what have you. Well, I'm glad you came today, but you just need to be warned. I'm already sweating right now. And I know it's because of some weight issues. I get it, okay? But I'm just excited. We're in a series called Awakening, and we started last week. Listen, the answer for America is not who's in the White House, but the answer for America is what's happening in God's house. And that's what we've been talking about last week, and we're going to continue to do so today. And I'm excited about these next several days. I'm excited not only for today, but I'm looking forward to next week. And listen, we are preparing for an Easter of epic proportions. Pastors and worship teams and kids leaders all around the globe are preparing now to preach and teach and sing loud. Because the reality is, as Pastor Angie and I alluded to, Easter is the most attended Sunday on the calendar year. And so for us, and I would covet your prayers with this, and for other pastors, it's not that, first of all, how do you take a story that's been told over and over and over and that people have heard for 15 years, 20 years, or 40 years or more, right? How do you take that and share it in a way that it just might hit a little different? Listen, we don't want to waste people's time this Easter season. But more importantly, I'm praying that we would be able to share a story that never changes in a way that just resonates a little bit different this year. So would you pray that for leadership all across the globe as they get ready to teach and preach? I believe there's a harvest. I believe that God is moving. And I know many of you are believing that the return of the Lord could be near, right? Because you've mapped out the solar eclipse and you know the diagrams it makes. And it's going over Nineveh and all that, right? You've done that. I do believe that the return of the Lord is near. It's closer today than it was that first resurrection Sunday. It'll be closer tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? But if the return of the Lord is near, we've got work to do. Amen? Yes. Easter. And I just wonder, are we willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that everybody this Easter has an opportunity to get into the presence of Jesus? Carrie Newhoff is a Canadian, and a Christian pastor, speaker, blogger, just an encourager, statistician. I mean, he probably can even make stir fry. I don't know. He's just that good. You know what I'm saying? I found a quote this week from Pastor Carrie Newhoff that I love when it comes to what we want to deal with today. And he says this: 82% of people would come to church if a friend invited them. But only 2% of Christians bother. 82% of people, if we would simply invite them to come, would come with us to the house of God. But only 2% of us actually ever do invite someone to come. Wow. I love when guests come and say, "Hey, how'd you hear about us?" And I love it. My soul leaps within me whenever they say, "Someone invited me to come." I love that. I love that. Listen, do we believe that Jesus really is worth talking about? Do we believe that Jesus really is the answer for all the problems, and they are many, that are facing our culture today? If we believe in something, you know what we do? We tell somebody about that, right? You go to a restaurant and you have a great experience. You are chatting it up. Bloop, what you're talking about. You're blowing it up. Man, I went to this experience. I mean, we talk about things that we truly believe in. I just wonder if the people of God really believe that Jesus is still worth talking about. Is he worth inviting somebody? Listen, there are six words that I believe speak to the very heart of God. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we find, "For God so loved the world." Do you believe that he loves the world? Do we? 2 Peter, we find these words, that he does not want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to repent. Is that our passion as well, church? Do we care that there are people that are dying without a Savior? And listen, if you die without Jesus in your life, listen, you are banished in a place called hell. Can I just tell you something about hell? It wasn't created for people. God's plan has never been for people to occupy hell. Hell was created for the devil, Satan, and his followers. It wasn't created for people. God loved the world, and his plan is that no one should perish, but that everyone repent. Do we believe that, church? I'm just wondering if we're willing to tell anybody about it then. Hey, let me ask you a question. Has God used this church to change anybody in this room's life? Is anybody's life different? Because Becky, hey, can I just, hey, how's God used this church to change your life?
This church has been everything to me. It's my home.
It's been everything to you. It's your home. Shelly, how about you?
I found Jesus here.
Found Jesus here. Found Jesus here. story after story after story of people's lives being changed. And I'm just wondering, if our lives have been changed by something, will we tell somebody else about it? And will we invite them also to come and experience the same thing that we've experienced? Or is he finished doing? Is he finished moving? Is he finished transforming people's lives? No, listen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just wonder if we really believe that Jesus is worth talking about, right? But can I read the Bible to y'all a little bit today? Ben, are you okay with Scripture? Yeah, most of the time. I don't like it when Scripture convicts me, though. Does it ever hurt you sometimes when you read the Bible? Yeah. It's not the Bible's fault. It's my fault, right? Hey, I'm going to read to you a story that maybe you've heard before. It's found in the book of Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says this. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, let me hear. Capernaum was if there was a ministry base for Jesus, we know that for 3 years, Jesus ministered to people and basically around a region known as the Sea of Galilee. If he had a ministry hub, a place where maybe he got back to relax, catch his breath, retool or whatever, spend time writing messages. What you think Jesus spent time writing sermons? I think he spent time in prayer, right? Father, not my will, but yours be done. So, but Capernaum would have been his ministry hub, okay? It's right there on the Sea of Galilee. If you've been to Israel, anybody been to Israel, you probably have been to Capernaum. We've been into the synagogue there, right? We saw in Capernaum is where Peter's mother-in-law was ill in her home there, and that's where the healing of Peter's mother-in-law took place, right? But Capernaum is that ministry hub. That's where Jesus is. He's been out doing ministry. He's called disciples. They've been out doing ministry, healing people. And it says here in verse 1, Jesus has returned to Capernaum several days later, and the news spread quickly. What spread quickly? News spread quickly. How in the world would news spread quickly about what Jesus was doing? How would news spread quickly that he's now back home? How would it spread? People would tell each other. What's your name? Wyatt. How old are you? 10. Even Wyatt, a 10-year-old, gets it. People would tell each other. This is back before the intranets. This is back before mail. This is back before cell phones and all that. People, as Wyatt just declared, would tell other people what had happened. Are you seeing what's happening here? News has spread quickly, it says in 2:1 of Mark, that Jesus is back home in Capernaum. News has spread quickly. And because it spread quickly, look what it says. The house in which he was at, was where he was staying, was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. Can you imagine the scene here? Jesus is present in a place. News has spread quickly about what he's doing and how people's lives have been transformed and changed. And people have flocked and there's no more room where he's at, in the house he's staying. Can you imagine a day and a time in which the people of God are so eat up with Jesus, talking about the difference, Carrie, that he's made in someone's life, that they are telling, as Wyatt said, everybody about him, and the houses of God are packed, filled, overflowing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's done it before, Russ, he can do it again. That's what's happening here in Capernaum. He's healing people. Lives are being changed, Annie Gudenrath. Lives are being changed and transformed, and people are hearing about it. They're flocking to this house where Jesus is located because they want to hear this radical rabbi from Nazareth. They want to see if all the talk is really true. And they're packed the place out. Oh, for the houses of God to be filled with people that are hungry for Jesus. Are we hungry? Are we over Jesus? Have you gotten over Jesus? Have we forgotten what he's done for us? The Bible goes on to say that while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because the crowd was so big, and so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Now keep in mind, the homes back in those days were probably built out of stone. Their roofs were flat, and the roofs were comprised of materials like mud and straw, and they would just pack that on layer upon layer. Most of the homes had a stairway on the side of the home that they could walk up on top of the roof, because sometimes that roof served as a patio for them to throw their parties and drink pina coladas and margaritas. And yeah, you better watch out for that kind of stuff too. Sometimes they'd sleep up there in the cool breeze of the night, but they used their roof as kind of another part of their home. Are you understanding what's happening here? People have heard that Jesus is there. Jesus is preaching God's word. Four friends show up with a paralyzed friend of theirs, but they can't get inside the room, and so they come up with a plan. There's a stairwell here, and it says that they go up and they begin to pull away the tiles on top of that roof. Can you imagine if that were to start happening here? We thought about it, but the board shut me down quickly. It says that they lowered their paralyzed friend on a mat right in front of Jesus. And I love verse 5. This is the one, if you get a tattoo, this is the tattoo verse to get in this story. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." These guys are creative, are they not? They have come up with a way where there seemed to be no way to get their friend into the presence of Jesus. You know, Jesus was creative when he communicated with people. Jesus was creative whenever he was speaking about the kingdom. He knew his audience. We know that Jesus oftentimes taught in stories. They call them parables. They were modern day illustrations, but had some sort of a spiritual implication. Jesus would take a farming illustration to farmers but somehow point it back towards the Father in heaven. To religious people, Jesus would speak on their terms and somehow, well, correct them, because sometimes religious people just need some of that. To people that were hurting or desperate, Jesus was creative when it came to presentation, was he not? But he always knew how to connect with people. He didn't want people to miss a moment or a word. Last week, we looked at the early church in the book of Acts, and we saw how 120 people filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in a room, 120 people. They became very creative, did they not, when it came to telling people about Jesus, as Wyatt said. Back before the internet, back before email, back before phones, these people, by word of mouth, would get out in their communities and tell people, "I've seen the risen Savior, Jesus," or "I've seen him heal people. I've heard his teaching." They would get out. They were creative. Their lives hung in the balance. But they did whatever it took to tell people about Jesus. And many times, "Hey, you've got to come and see it and experience him as well. Don't just take my word for it, but you have to come." I love this story on so many levels, but I love the creative aspect of these four friends. We don't even know their names. We don't read about them anywhere else in Scripture. We don't know who these guys are. That might be one of those questions that we could, hey, where are those four dudes from Mark chapter 2? Where are they? We don't even know who they are. But what we do know about them is that they believed that Jesus could meet their friend's need. I wonder, do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus can do the same thing in the lives of our friends? They take open the roof and lower their friend in front of Jesus on a mat. I ask you a question today. Do you know somebody that needs to get into the presence of Jesus? We all know somebody, do we not, that has some, this could be a bad idea. Randy, you may have to help me up. My teachers, you saw it, sit Indian style. You don't get it. I'm big. We all know somebody that's paralyzed, don't we? Not necessarily physically, but hey, do you all know somebody that maybe deals with some negative views about who they are? Does someone come to mind today that maybe does have some sort of physical hindrance, a setback? You know anybody that deals with guilt? Anger issues? Any angry people in the house? Yeah. People that have some mental health things going on, just. You know anybody that's got some relationship struggles? You know anybody that's just dazed and confused? Does someone come to your mind right now that you would say, Jason, they would be my mat person? We all know somebody, don't we? My question is, what are we going to do about it? I love the response of these four friends. It doesn't say that they, I don't know, but I just know what the scripture, I don't know if they had intervened and tried to heal their friend on their own. I don't know if they'd try to cast something out of him. I think Mark probably would have recorded that, or somebody else would have in another gospel. But here's what I do know. Their friends believed that Jesus was the answer. And they were willing to do whatever it took. What would your response have been if you were to pull up today and you saw people hanging out the doorway and there wasn't a parking spot? People were packed. Some of y'all are a little nervous right now just because the chairs are set up different in this room today. You're going, what on tarnation? Is this a church or is this a what? Yeah. I wonder what my response would have been if I would have been one of those four. Hey, guys, the room is crowded. It's packed. Gosh, we should have started earlier today. You know? Or, hey, you know what? Maybe we can come back another day. Maybe we can catch Jesus tomorrow. Or maybe we can catch him down the road, you know? What would your response have been? These four didn't let anything stop them because they knew that Jesus was what their friend needed. And I wonder if somehow we might develop that same whatever it takes attitude. I think for some of us, it's like, man, I'm nervous about talking about Jesus in front of my friends because I don't want them to find me weird. Or I'm afraid of losing a peer group. I like to be known as this, and I, listen, bro, I put a church decal on the back of my car, and now you're asking me to actually invite people to church. Listen, we're afraid of what they say, or maybe for some of us, maybe we just don't believe that Jesus can actually help our friend. Listen, if you had a friend that had a toothache, you'd tell them to go to a dentist, wouldn't you? A friend of yours falls and breaks their arm, you're going to call 911 or load them up in a car and drive them somewhere to get it taken care of. If you go to a restaurant and have a great experience and service, the food is good, you're going to tell hungry people, or if you've got a friend that's hungry, you're going to get them somewhere where they can eat like that, right? You are. Might it just possibly be that we believe more in dentists and doctors and chefs than we do Jesus? Do we really believe that he can step in and meet? And oh, by the way, if you're a guest of ours today at 1910, I don't normally sit on the floor like this casually. In fact, let me see if I can get up. This is awkward. He did it before. He'll do it again, right? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Miracles happen, yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say, Frank. We believe everything in the Bible here at 1910, and we believe the things that we read that he did back then are still relevant today. You see, this story of healing and transformation and being set free is not just Mark 2, but it's March 24th of 2024 relevant as well. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just wonder if we really believe that Jesus is what our friends need. Listen, I told you verse 5 is one of my favorite verses in this story, because it doesn't say that this man did anything in order to be healed. We don't even know the paralyzed man's name in this story. But we find the key here. It says in verse 5, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Could it just might possibly be that maybe our lack of faith or belief in Jesus could be keeping our friends from coming to Jesus? Again, have we gotten over Jesus? Have we gotten too comfortable with him? Or we're grateful and thankful that he has changed our life. Now, the rest of y'all, good luck. Figure it out on your own. No. I'm just wondering, our faith plays a part in your friends coming to Jesus. Did you hear that? This man had no hope without those four people, did he? But those four did whatever it took to get their friend who needed Jesus into the presence of Jesus. We play a role in our friends and family and neighbors. We play a role in them coming to Jesus. Is an invite too hard to ask? If I believe that Jesus is what they need, will I do whatever it takes to, hey, have an egg? They're going to look at you weird because of that. Don't worry about Jesus. They're going to think you're weird because you gave them a plastic egg. Right? Will we do whatever it takes? Hey, church, are we looking for opportunities to bring our friends to Christ. The faith of the four led to a paralyzed man's healing. What are we willing to do to get our friends in the presence of Jesus? Wow. Today is Palm Sunday. This marks the final week of Jesus' life on earth, and we know that on that Sunday he made his way into Jerusalem riding on a donkey's colt. We know that the streets were lined with people that were waving palm branches. They were laying their cloaks on the road for the colt and with Jesus on to walk across, and they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That word Hosanna means to save, please, to please save me now is what that means in the Hebrew. They were believing that Jesus was going to save them and deliver them from the cultural issues that they were dealing with. Their poor economy, the political influence of the Romans, the suppression there. They were looking for those exterior things, circumstances, and they were wanting Jesus to please save us from this. What they didn't see was there was a greater need. It was their heart, their spiritual condition. You see, that's why Jesus came. He came, and it's interesting that he comes in. What king, what savior, what deliverer comes in riding on a donkey's colt? I'm coming in a Lambo or something like that, bro. I'm coming in loud and proud. I'm thumping it. I'm leaving no doubt that the king is here. Yeah. But not Jesus. Humility, humble, the people excited. Jesus' heart hurting because he knew that in just a matter of hours, those cheers would turn to jeers. They missed it. But guys, I can't help but think we all know somebody today that is saying, "Save us, please." And they may not know it, but you know what they need. They think they need a better job, a promotion. They need more money in the bank account. They need this in a relationship issue. No, you know what your friends need, and I'm just wondering, what will we do to get them into the presence of Jesus? Would you stand with me and bow your heads and close your eyes? I know that I'm talking, and it's easy for us to think, and I've already challenged you to think about someone you know that needs to come and get into the presence of Jesus. But hey, listen, I know in a room this size, and for those of you that are watching us online, I know that for some of us, we may be that person that is on the mat today. In fact, would you just close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you, is there anyone here today that say, "You know what? I need Jesus to step into a physical condition that I'm dealing with right now"? If that's you, would you just raise your hand? It's okay. I see hands. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. What about those of you that are here today? Say, "Hey, you know, I need Jesus to step into maybe an addiction that I deal with. Something that controls and dominates. I don't feel like I can make it without this, and it's eating me up." Is that you? Raise your hand. I see those hands. It's okay. Yeah. Is there someone here today who says, hey, you know what? I'm not paralyzed. I don't have that. But listen, I have a relationship struggle going on right now, Jason, and I just need Jesus. Maybe it's with a spouse. I see hands right now. A spouse, maybe it's a friendship at school, classmate, huh? Yeah? We need Jesus to intervene there. Thank you, guys. Guys, let me just remind you that the Jesus in Mark chapter 2 is the same one that we worship here today. And no matter what you're dealing with and what you're going through, he is still more than able. The God who heals a paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2 is still the same God. He is still, his name is still Jehovah Rapha. He is still a God who heals, and he's able to step into your mess today. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is able? Hey, church people gathered today, those of you that are joining us online, will we do whatever it takes to invite someone to come and see Jesus? I want to pray over you as our ministry team makes their way to the front today. And I just want to encourage us all today to believe that Jesus cares. I've already told you, he loves you. For God so loved the world. I've already shared with you today that his desire is that no one perish, but all of us would repent of our sins and be forgiven of that. Come on, even at your worst, can I just tell you something? God still loves you. Even at your worst, there's nothing you can do that would make him change his mind towards you. And he wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to restore you. He wants to bring healing as he did in Mark chapter 2 today. And he wants to give you a new life. Would you say yes to Jesus? Father, thank you for the reminder today of your love for mankind. Thank you today, God, for the reminder that your desire is that we would repent and not perish. And Father, I want to thank you for a story today of four friends who believed that you were the answer. They believed so much. They didn't let anything stop them from getting their friend who needed Jesus. They didn't let anything stop them from getting him into your presence, Lord. And God, I'm praying that for your church. For all of us listening here today, God, that we would have that same care and concern for our friends. That we would want to see them set free and delivered and restored and made new. And God, that we would believe that you are what they need. And Father, we'd be willing to do whatever it took to get them to you. Jesus, I pray for people here today that are dealing with a physical setback, addiction issues, those who have some relationship struggles that are going on right now, those whose views of themselves do not match up with how you view them, God. Lord, I'm praying that today they would not leave here without a word of encouragement from our team. God, they'd let your spirit minister to them in this moment. And Father, I pray that as we leave this house today, that we would set our mind on you this week. Our gaze would be on you, Jesus. That every word that proceeds from our mouth, every thought we have, God, every decision we make, God, may it be pleasing to you. Let us carve out time for Jesus. And let us set our mind on him. And God, I pray that we would not stop talking about you. And God, we would invite others to come and experience you. It's in your awesome name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.